Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Tomorrow's show will be in Minneapolis. I usually get a room that overlooks Target Field, the home of the Twins, because the Marriott that we stay in is right next to the Target Center. On the other side of the Target Center is Target Field where the Twins play. I only mention that because the irony is we're having Tim Kurkjian on, who will be in Williamsport tomorrow. So, other than that, Kurkjian's in Williamsport. I'm at Target Field. That's coming up tomorrow. So, Matt, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Steve Jones.
The national championship game won by LSU last night, which I believe now gives me, I don't know if it put me into a tie with my brother in the bowl thing, or I have to check and see about
that. Yeah, I do have to check about that. I think you might be right.
And then the pro thing, I think I went 3-1.
Yes, you and I both went 3-1, so overall, we both went 4-1, and your brother went 1-4.
Well, now I can take some chances.
Yeah, I'm pulling pretty good, too.
For once, I think I'm going into the stretch run with a lead not even I can lose.
Yeah, Sean and I mash, as Kevin gave us the name. We were way behind, but now we're starting to creep up. This is a huge week for us, too.
There's only two games.
Yeah.
I think I've got a lead here. Now, did Wetzel come in today?
No, I have not seen him yet.
Okay.
I know he was supposed to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk to Greg when Greg gets there, or Greg can call. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. But the... Rose, Astros cheating worse than my bets. No. Sorry, Pete. Okay. No. It's an adorable sentiment on his part, but no.
He's got some goyunes to say something like that.
Oh, he's forever going to put himself in a spot where he's trying to get him to look, make himself look better. No getting around that. He's just going to have to. He's going to have to sit out.
I do have our picks, by the way. I don't have the college ball picks. I'm still looking for those, but I found our pro picks overall. So you are now at 76-45 after last night. Your brother is 72-49, and I am now one game behind him at 71-50.
All right, so in other words, what you're saying is, with only three games to play, I'm up four.
Yes, actually. So you're in good shape.
Yeah. It's usually in a golf match, you win 5-4. In match play, I mean, they stop the tournament. Yeah. All right. I think that, by the way, Penn State finished ninth in the AP poll. I did not see a coaches poll that came out. I do know they do a coaches poll. Obviously, for some odd reason, LSU is first. I don't understand why. Just kidding. Antonio Gates officially retires from the NFL. You know, I did an Antonio Gates game once. You know that?
I did not know that.
But it's not what you think. It was the quarterfinals of the 2000 NIT. Antonio Gates was playing basketball for Kent State in the Jordan Center against Penn State. And, yeah, did the game. So I actually did an Antonio Gates game once. All right. Let's see here. And obviously, I think people are aware. Oh, yeah. I just want to check the coaches' poll just to see if it. AP poll, Penn State finished 9th. LSU 1, obviously. Clemson 2, obviously. Ohio State 3, Georgia 4, Oregon 5, Florida 6. Oklahoma fell to 7. Alabama jumped to 8. Penn State 9, Minnesota 10, Wisconsin 11, Notre Dame 12. Baylor 13, Auburn 14, Iowa 15, Utah 16, Memphis 17, Michigan 18, Appalachian State 19, Navy 20, Cincinnati 21, Air Force 22, Boise State 23, UCF 24, and Texas at 25. And let's see. That's the AP poll. Let me see if there's the coaches' poll came out or not.
I do have it here.
The coaches' poll?
Coaches' poll, yeah.
The last coaches' poll I have is from after Week 16. What do you have?
I have it. That was just posted an hour ago by Sporting News.
Oh, okay.
So basically, the top 10 is the same. Penn State is 9th, but Oklahoma is 6th, Florida is 7.
Okay.
Everything else is all pretty right. much the same.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. And then, of course, there's the. And we have to recognize the story exists and then see how, you know, what, if anything, comes out of this. But we have to recognize that the story exists. And former Nittany Lion player files federal lawsuit against James Franklin and Penn State for hazing. The story, and this is Penn State football player Isaiah Humphreys filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday against the university, coach James Franklin, and former teammate Damian Barber. The suit alleges Humphreys was subject to hazing brought by Barber, and it also mentions in there, but they are not part of the suit, though, Micah Parsons and Yitor Grosmatos and Jesse Lucchetta. And it says, it claims that the coaching staff was aware of the hazing and did not protect Humphreys. Mentions include instances of players... of the players named collectively orchestrating, directing, and facilitating a campaign to harass and haze a lower class members of the football team. So he is represented by Philadelphia attorney Steve Marino, who says the incident is not isolated to just his client. Does it say the results of the investigation were submitted to the Penn State University Office of Student Conduct according to the lawsuit, and the Office of Student Conduct prosecuted charges lodged against Barber. It is not clear, however, what specific student conduct rule violation he was charged with. Barber was suspended for the opening game of the season against Idaho for what was termed at the time a violation of team rules, but he did play in the second game against Buffalo. Marino says the father, Leonard Humphreys, former Nittany Lion, notified Penn State coaches of the hazing and that no action was taken at the time of those complaints. Lawsuit goes on to allege that the coaching staff knew about the hazing and on multiple occasions observed the harassment and hazing which the plaintiff and other lower classmen were being subjected to in the football locker room. They say that Humphreys says that he was overly and unfairly scrutinized in his athletic performance for reporting harassment and that he was scorned and punished by the staff. He has since left Penn State. He has enrolled at Cal. Had to sit out last season because of the transfer rules. So at least we, you know, at least recognize that the story exists. And now we'll see what, if anything, happens and how this plays out. It's about all we can do. anybody who comments about this along the way, to be frank with you, is just guessing. Because, I mean, you literally have heard the side of the players, or you know, and you probably won't either. But that's the story. And then there's the baseball story. Jim Crane, of course, yesterday firing A.J. Hinch, firing Jeff Luhnow, after both have been suspended for the year and a full year. In fact, Hinch was suspended without pay. Well, now it doesn't matter. He's fired. Interesting, though, that Hinch is a guy that was completely against all this. But, again, this goes back to reporting. You got to, you know, you got to take it upstairs. You got to talk to them. You got to let it know what's going on. And evidently didn't do it. Loses his job over it. Now, do I think down the road I could see A.J. Hinch back in baseball? Yeah, I could. I could see him maybe beginning the process of rehabilitating his career as a bench coach, which has now become a popular item in Major League Baseball. Ollie Marmol, who's been on this show several times when he was the manager of the State College Spikes, is the bench coach for Mike Shildt, another former State College Spike, with the St. Louis Cardinals. He's the bench coach there. The idea is who ends up getting managerial jobs? Usually bench coaches. So who was the bench coach with Houston in 2017? His name is prominently mentioned in there, and it was Alex Cora. Now, he is not disciplined as of this hour, because I think everybody wants to see the results of the Red Sox investigation. And before you start jumping up and down and going, yeah, oh, the Astros and the Red Sox, according to the reports, there are seven or eight teams that actually, and it might, one of them might be your team. Might not, but one of them might be yours. So I wouldn't get all too happy about somebody else getting snagged until you find out for sure your team's in the clear, too. The Red Sox are definitely under investigation for what happened. And, of course, the common thread between the Astros and the Red Sox, Alex Cora. Interesting that Mets manager Carlos Beltran is named in the report. Didn't receive any discipline. In fact, you notice who didn't get any discipline in the report, Matt?
Well, Beltran didn't.
No. Players.
All right.
And guess whose idea it was? Oh, the players. It's their idea. You read the report. Okay? Management didn't come up with this. Hinch didn't. Cora didn't. The players did. This was their baby. But, not, you know, you have to wonder, though, in the course of this, and even though there's no subpoena power, you have to wonder if immunity was given to get the testimony to get it out there. But no player, and it's the player was the player's idea. The player's bashing the trash can. It's the players looking at the video in the back of the dugout. Their baby. Now, Cora's name is mentioned many times in here. Other players' names are not mentioned. Beltran's name is mentioned. But this is far from over. The Red Sox investigation is going on now, so that's next. The question, and here's the issue that if you're wondering about your team, because now it's alleged in the, if you read the report, it's alleged that there are seven or eight teams that do this. Here's the issue that's interesting about this. There are very few Cal Ripkins anymore. You're like, Ferry, what does the Cal Ripken have to do with this? In other words, a player that stays with the same organization his entire career. A lot of these players end up with four, five, six different organizations in their career. So they're standing there going, hey, you know, we did this over here. You wouldn't believe what we did over in Houston. Hey, we did this and this and this. Right? You did what? When you have that many people in on something, it's very difficult to keep it quiet. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us. I've got to wonder if immunity was given in all of this. Because, look, these guys know they're cheating. It's just like the PED thing. Do you think, have you ever heard anybody come out and go, yeah, I used them. What's the problem? The reason you never hear anybody say that they use PEDs is because they know it's cheating. So they're not going to come out and say, yeah, I use them. I mean, we think the suit uses performance-enhancing drugs. Don't you think? Right. And right now, Roger has a lot of questions about maybe he needs to take more. No.
Oh, jeez.
Just kidding. He just need more performance out of him. But you never hear anybody, I did that? Yeah, sure. You want to know why? Because they know it's cheating. So you hear players like, oh, yeah, we steal signs. Well, you're not going to hear them say that. You want to know why? They know they're cheating. It is, I don't know. I know competition is hot and heavy in so many realms of life. I mean, for example, in our industry today, a major industry leader in broadcasting had a bunch of layoffs today. All right. So it happens everywhere, but there may be heavy competition, but you don't have enough confidence to get it done in your own. That's the part that strikes me, is that the lack of confidence people have to actually get it done. Maybe I'm being too naive. Neil Kulon coming up today. Great to have you with us. Matt Catrillo alongside, who's now nipping at my brother's heels when it comes to the picks.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. LSU won the national championship last night. No real surprise there. Penn State finished ninth in both polls, so another top 10 finish. And now the look forward to the upcoming season. Now, of course, obviously we know that the report in PennLive.com today about the suit filed by the Humphreys family. That, but you still have to look ahead to next season. Now, as of right now, to my knowledge, let's see. We know about everybody. I think KJ Hamler and Yetur Gross-Matos have both opted for the NFL draft. Hunter Kelly, backup center, who could have come back for another year, received a scholarship last spring, has opted for the transfer portal. The only one I don't think we really know for sure about right now, and I have not been around the building, the team, or anything like that, is Shaka Toney. I don't know. I think the way it works is this. You have a lot of people saying, and it's on Monday. Well, there's actually a two-step process to that. And the two-step process of this, the player actually has to file the paperwork by Friday this week. And then they have until Monday to make it final one way or the other. So they have to file it by Friday, and then they have to make it final one way or the other on Monday. So there actually is a two-step process to that. And I don't have not heard one way or the other as to what he's thinking. I know the team met on Sunday night, but I was not in the team meeting. And that team meeting had been at that standard. It's the night before classes begin, and that's, you know, that's why you have it. So I wasn't a part of that, so I don't know. But those are the only ones I don't really know about. When you are sitting there and you are looking at this team for the upcoming season, you've got both your quarterbacks back. And again, this is barring any transfer portal stuff or anything like that, because that stuff is going to happen. And I think the next big time it could happen for any program, and I've mentioned this several times, so that I'm not going into foreign territory here, a time to always watch for is after everybody's spring practice. Seems like when spring practice is over with and the semester is over with, you've got people looking around saying, okay, is this where I want to be, or do I want to go someplace else? So it's right around that late April, early May area. And this is for programs across the country. You have people transferring right now. I mean, that's certainly, we've mentioned that, because again, what happens at the end of the semester? You know, usually that end of the semester area is a familiar area for people to discuss what they want to do with their particular futures. Okay. So you have to talk about the roster that you have right now. So Penn State has its top two quarterbacks back, Sean Clifford, Will Levis. Offensive line. Of the seven guys that were the primary guys on your offensive line last year, six of those seven are back. Rasheed Walker, Will Fries, Mike Miranda, Michael Mennett, C.J. Thorpe, and Dez Holmes. They're all back. And so when you look at that part, okay, you're in good shape. Now who else do you have? Caden Wallace. The door is going to be open for Caden Wallace to play. I think the door is open for a potentially healthy Juice Scruggs. Okay. So that's where you are with that part. Your top tight end, Pat Freiermuth, is back. And then two guys, Zach Kuntz and Brenton Strange, with great potential, are right there with him. So those three guys, top three out of four, back. Running backs, all four running backs, Journey Brown, Ricky Slade, Noah Kane, Devin Ford, back. Now you go to wide receiver. It's where it gets a little dicier. But you do have back Jahan Dotson. Mack Hippenhammer is going to play baseball again this spring. John Dunmore and Jones, the two freshman wide receivers, are there in this mix. And Daniel George. And a completely healthy Daniel George is a big plus in the scenario. Now you go to defense. Defense, P.J. Mustafa, Antonio Shelton are both back. Judge Culpepper's back. Fred Hansard's back. And when you go to the end spots, Adisa Isaac's back. We'll see what Shaka Tony says definitively. Jason Oway, who could be a big factor this upcoming season. Micah Parsons at linebacker. Ellis Brooks, Jesse Lucchetta, Brandon Smith. Lance Dixon. Charlie Catcher. Yeah, you got depth at linebacker. Then you get to the secondary, and in the secondary, get the three top safeties back. So we actually see how they want to play this out, because Brisker, Jaquan Brisker, Lamont Wade, Jonathan Sutherland, all back. So where's that fourth safety coming from? And then a corner, Tariq Castro-Fields, Keaton Ellis, Marquise Wilson, Joey Porter Jr., Daquan Hardy. Hardy's an athlete that can play on either side of the ball. So can Ellis, as a matter of fact. But Ellis played corner last year and got better as the season went. Porter is interesting size and length to be a long corner. Or does he have enough to maybe be another safety? I don't know. That's something I'm interested to see what they decide to do, even if there is a decision on him. And then kicking-wise, Jordan Stout, Jake Pinneger, both back. And you have to replace Blake Gilligan. And you have to replace... Now, Dotson, I think, has a chance to be the punt returner. Hippenhammer could be a punt returner. Obviously, in kick return candidates, Ricky Slade's a candidate. Journey Brown's a candidate. I mean, you got plenty of candidates on kickoff returns. But you have to come up with a punter. And by the way, they've recruited one. And I should point out that Jordan Stout can punt. In fact, Jordan Stout's a very good punter, as a matter of fact. So they've got a lot coming back. And they'll start next season, I think, in a pretty good position in terms of rankings. Rankings bring with it... The AP poll and the coaches poll mean nothing, except in one area. They mean something in terms of perception. The committee members in the room do not sit there and go, hey, what's the AP poll say? Hey, what does the coaches poll say? They sit down with their own research and they rank them. Starting right around November 1st, give or take a couple of days. But what the AP poll and what the coaches poll, what the two of them happen to do is they do deliver an element of perception about where some people think you are. And let's face it, perception sometimes plays a role as to where you end up. Penn State, I think, should start the season next season, perception-wise, in a pretty good spot. And they have to play at Virginia Tech. They have to play at Michigan. They have Ohio State and Michigan State here. I think they're at Nebraska next year, I believe. Then they've got Northwestern, and I want to say Iowa here. So they play Iowa every year, it seems like. They got Maryland here. They have to play at Rutgers. Had to play at Indiana. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. Had to play at Indiana. I think that's a pretty good handle of where they are, because they have the five Big Ten home games are here next year. It's an even year, so five home games in the conference in Beaver Stadium. And they've got, see, Kent State here. That's the opener. Hey, Kent State looked good in its bowl game. The Crum kid at quarterback played great. And I'm trying to think what the other non-conference home game is. I have to look it up. Like, how can you not have it memorized? I don't know. I'm flying to Minnesota tonight to do basketball. That could be a reason why. Let's see here. I'll look it up just to make sure. That way I know I'm not filing this thing up at all. But yesterday I talked about how Penn State has bucked the attendance trend nationally. Attendance in college football from 2014 to 2018 dropped 7.6%. Penn State's attendance in that same time went up. And they bucked that trend. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over time. Penn State's ticket sales again in the offseason have been strong. I think the season ticket stuff isn't going to be sent out for another week. Something like that. Week, 10 days, somewhere there. I mean, I have no contact with the ticket office at all. Let me see here. Well, they have last year's schedule. Of course they do. Let's see here. Let's flip it to next year. I know they open with Kent State. That part I do know. If I want the 2025 schedule, it's there. That's great. Kent State, Virginia Tech. San Jose State. Okay, here. Then Northwestern here. At Michigan. Yeah, Iowa at home. Home with Ohio State. At Indiana. At Nebraska. Home with Michigan State. Home with Maryland. At Rutgers. So I had everything right except San Jose State. How could I possibly have forgotten them? Sorry about that, Matt. Didn't mean to forget San Jose State. Didn't mean to forget the Spartans.
That's something I'll never forget.
Well, I won't forget it now, that's for sure. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's what I mean. And the schedule sets up nice. They go, the first game of the season is the 5th, 12, 19, then 26, 3rd. Then they get a bye before they host Iowa. So they play Michigan on the 3rd, then they get a bye. I think they only have one bye next season. And, yeah, one bye. Because next year, Thanksgiving next year is November 26th. Is that correct? And that means there's 13 Saturdays between Labor Day weekend and... Because I want to say Labor Day is September 7th this year. So it's a little closer gap. I mean, the suit would have known right away. There's one thing about the suit. When it came to paid holidays, he knew where they all were. All right. Neil Coulon coming up next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on the show today. It's looking at what the possibilities are for next season for Penn State football, as we were doing that a few moments ago. And next half hour, Neil Coulong in the NFL playoffs. Yes. In Neil's perspective. It's been disappointing for Neil, he had big plans for all those Duck Hodges jerseys that he bought. And now he's using them as gag gifts. It's just it's not good. I do know one person that would buy it. But then again, when you have that much disposable income, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I do know.
Now, have you talked to him about the Bill Cowher induction into the Hall of Fame?
I haven't yet, actually. I haven't had the chance.
I'm sure he's thrilled. Cowher's his guy.
Oh, I'm sure he is, too.
If Cowher tells you that it's legal to play with 12 guys in the field, he believes it. Okay?
This is true.
Now, does Bill Cowher belong in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Yes. Okay? Yes. Am I a little concerned that this 15-member class, and they're going to announce the other 13 tomorrow to go with Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher? I mean, a little concerned that they didn't quite do what they were supposed to do. Yeah, you know what? Pro football did not begin 53 years ago tomorrow. Did you know what 53 years ago tomorrow happens to be? The anniversary of Super Bowl I. Pro football did not begin with the NFL-AFL championship game at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum on January 15th, 1967. And yes, I watched the game. I watched the game. I remember I was a 9-year-old kid and went out at halftime and we passed the ball around the street and then went back in and watched the Packers finish the job against Hank Stram's Kansas City Chiefs. And wouldn't it be ironic if both the Packers and the Chiefs won this weekend? But pro football did not begin on that day. There are a lot of great, you know, I mean, Jim Brown retired before the Super Bowl ever existed. It's interesting to see how he ended up being the number one college player of all time last night. That was actually kind of cool and interesting, I think, because to this day, many of us still believe, as much as Brady's done this, that, and the other thing, that something about Jim Brown, watching Jim Brown play football for the Cleveland Browns, they'd give him the ball, he'd pull over eight guys, then he'd go back to the huddle, look like he was hurt, and get in the huddle, and he'd give the ball again, and he'd pull over eight guys. And he had speed, Jim Brown was a great football player. Oh my goodness, he was a great player. I mean, not good. He was a great player.
He was also number one on the NFL all-time 100 list that they just did, too.
Right. And that part I got. Did I ever tell you about how Jack found out about how he got on the NFL 100?
No.
This is a great story.
I'd be curious about this.
Okay, we're in Dallas. And I find out, just looking online, that Jack is in the ESPN College Football 150, Jack made second team all-time linebacker. That means one of the six linebackers ever in the history of college football, according to ESPN. So he was second team all 150 linebacker. Wow. So, I don't know, he and I are walking to, I guess we were walking to dinner or whatever. I said, hey, by the way, congrats. He says, then what? And I told him. And he says, really? He says, oh, I didn't know that. He says, well, it's a little bit different, he says, hearing it from you. He says, because when it came to the NFL 100, I got a phone call at the house. I said, yeah. He says, and this guy in the other end claiming to be Roger Goodell. He says, the first thing I thought of was Moeller, you, Brumbaugh, and Butchie, his buddy Butchie. He says, or Billy Clemens, setting me up. He says, and as the guy talked, I realized it actually was Roger Goodell.
That is too funny.
I said, Roger Goodell told you were in the NFL All-Time 100. He goes, yeah. He says, and Steve Jones told you on the ESPN All-Time 150. I said, what a come down. I said, kind of tells you where you're rating the college football scale, doesn't it?